All right. Well, why don't we go ahead and begin? So, Claire, maybe I wasn't on the last call because I was on retreat in North Carolina. I wonder if you would be willing to just kind of say what we've talked about and what we've done so far, just to kind of get me caught up and anybody else who might not be sure about that.
Mm-hmm. So on our last call, which was orientation to the program, we talked about that this group is about folks getting together who are interested in raising money for the Zen Monastery Peace Center primarily, and also if you're interested in raising money for the Africa Vulnerable Children's Program, then those ideas and input are welcome too. And we invited people to share their ideas about what might be fun and interesting ways to raise money. And we also talked about how we were going to support each other in this process, and that there was going to be a blog set up, and we have now set up our Fundraising Everywhere blog, and folks' ideas about raising money are being posted on that blog. And we also talked about that this would be these conference calls would be a good forum for folks to share also their process around fundraising.
Great. Yeah, and I saw some of those ideas that were up on the blog, and very inspiring. So this morning, tell me if I'm right about this, Claire, this morning we're going to kind of check in with people about sort of how's it going with coming up with fundraising ideas and just kind of go from there.
Exactly, exactly. And if anybody else remembers anything from the last call that we might address today, or another piece of just to revisit the marketplace, because we did talk a little bit about the marketplace on the last call, and it might be good to revisit that and clarify the marketplace.
Okay, excellent. So maybe we can slide that in partway through. All right, good. So so everyone is unmuted, so people can just jump in whenever they're ready. If folks have a lot of background noise on their side, would they hit star 6 in order to mute themselves?
That is correct.
That's correct. Okay, good. All right, so with that as a little bit of a preamble, who would be willing to start us off?
Dave, this is Mickey.
Hey, Mickey.
Hey, you know, this really one of those synchronous things happened just this morning around this whole idea, because I had really been thinking that I've really been wanting to do a yard sale, a big one, for a long time.
Uh-huh.
But I was always gotten stuck by living out here at the end of a long dirt road.
And yeah, just thinking, how do you do that exactly?
Just thinking this is not the ideal location for a yard sale.
Uh-huh.
So, but I've been thinking that there's a lot of people in this area that would likely want to participate in something like that,
mm-hmm.
and who have locations or we know of locations in town.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking about that idea, and then this morning I got an email from one of those people suggesting the very idea.
With a, are you saying they offered you a space to do it, or?
Well, but they said, how about if we all have a big yard sale and find some place in town?
Oh, that's great.
So I said, right, you know, that's what
that's
I was
really
thinking.
That's really fun.
So it was like, you know, I put it out in the universe, but I almost didn't have to do anything, and it showed up.
Yeah, you know, it's funny to hear you say that, to tell that story, because that seems to be sort of the universal experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, we, you know, we can't really make up a whole belief system about it, but boy, it seems like when we just kind of just say, like you say, put out to the universe, it's just, it seems like things line up, and this synchronicity, this, if that's the right word, things happen, and it's like the universe says, hey, great idea. Well, let's see, who else can we get involved in this, and how can we help this along?
That's right, exactly. Yeah, and I think, you know, I think for a lot of years, there was a part of me that wanted to do it but also resisted doing it.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I think that part of my signing up for doing the fundraiser thing this year was to work with that resistance.
Yeah,
so,
that is so great. I know you're going somewhere with that thought, but just to underline that, that's just such a great motivation.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, it's the only thing to me, it's the thing that makes sense of this whole program, mm-hmm. because if it was only about raising money,
mm-hmm.
it would be a drag.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But it's
exactly.
not. It's about practice. And because it's about practice, it's really fun and exciting. You know, there's fun on the level of, you know, like you, I imagine that when this yard sale comes to pass, I bet it's going to be a blast.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm
because
there'll
be all kinds of people involved, and you guys are going to create a whole bunch of energy, and you're going to do something really good. It'll be a great day.
Yep.
And then there's a fun on the level of kind of going up against something that's challenging and having a breakthrough with that.
Yeah, exactly. And I really think that, once I think it's really true that when we take that first step, saying, okay, I see how I might be resisting something here, so I'm going to take on a way to just, fly in the face of it, then that makes possible all kinds of breakthroughs that you don't expect.
Yeah, that sure is my experience. It's almost like we're blind.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, we're wearing some kind of glasses that doesn't really let a whole lot of the light in,
mm-hmm.
but we don't realize it, and it's just all these assumptions about what's possible, you might say.
Yeah.
And then we say, well, you know what, I'm kind of, not even knowing the glasses are there, just I'm kind of interested in seeing a little bit more than I'm seeing right now. And then it's like those glasses get taken off, and all kinds of possibilities that were probably there all along,
mm-hmm.
or maybe not, I don't know,
yep.
or that they just appear, but suddenly they're there. And it's like, gosh, what kind of world was I living in before when this wasn't happening?
Yeah, exactly. I one time a few weeks ago, I was part of another group that I'm part of, separate from Sangha, and we were doing some exercises around creativity, and one of the things it said to do would be to draw a big circle and put in it all the things you would do if you trusted yourself.
Oh my!
And one of the things I put in there was I'd raise thousands of dollars for causes I care about.
Wow!
And so I thought, wow, isn't that interesting? So maybe it's time to trust myself.
Wow, that is great. You know what? I'm going to do that exercise tonight.
Yeah, and the second part of the exercise is all around the outside of the circle, put all the things that stop you.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to write my
all the things you're afraid of, all the things that keep you from trusting yourself.
That is a really good exercise. I'm going to make myself a little note
it's
here.
It's a very good exercise. I mean, I put it up on my wall when I was done, and it's like I look at it two or three times a week and just go, wow.
Yeah, that is really powerful. Well, I just love what you're saying, because it is the reason the organization exists.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's kind of neat how it all ties together, because we're raising money to make possible what you're talking about. That's a part of raising money to make possible,
Right.
There's not many things in life that are like that, at least not in culture, in the things that humans create.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sort of magic, because usually it's you start off with something, time, energy, money, and then when you get to the end of the process, it's all spent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there, but this is, it's circular. So it's like it feeds on itself.
Yeah. It's like it's truly no different. The fundraising is truly not at all separate from the mission. I mean, it's actually what Lynn Twist talked to the Living Compassion Board about once, about fundraising has to be part of your mission, not separate. It truly is. I mean, in this case, it is not separate at all, because when you're doing it, you're practicing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really think you're right. And I think the challenge, one of the challenges for this group of people who are sort of our pilot folks experimenting with this, is to somehow communicate that to the Sangha.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said that you've been on your mind for a while, but there's a lot of resistance there. I think that's probably the case for either a lot or maybe even most people around raising money.
I think
we're attempting to communicate that, but it's really an experiential sort of thing. Once you have the experience, you get it what you're talking about, and it's in some way, communicating that possibility to the Sangha, inviting people in, and giving them sort of an easy way to access that experience,
mm-hmm.
as they kind of navigate through the conditioning that might be in the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's actually pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So
thank
one
you.
Other little thing, Mickey, is I don't know who that email was from, but I happen to know another one of your neighbors is having the same idea.
Right, I think it was that other neighbor.
Okay.
I think that's the email I got this morning.
Okay,
that I got so excited and said, yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. So I wrote
that's
right
great.
Back and I said, absolutely, I'm 100% into this idea.
That's really neat. Well,
because it was the thing I was thinking I was going to do for my project, but I intend to do it for my project. I'm just somebody else just got the ball rolling.
Yeah, well, you're both doing it. That's great. Hey, and we got some junk around here we can get rid of. Let's talk.
I think there's probably plenty of stuff we can get rid of.
Hi, this is that other neighbor.
The other person.
Hey, neighbor.
And I would just like to say amen and yay, team. Everything that Mickey said, I have had that same history with looking at raising money and just have, you know, all kinds of resistance. And it's just sort of peeling away right now, you know, having an idea of putting together a team and having people work together just seems like a really perfect way to break through that resistance that seems to be there when you think of doing something all by yourself the first time, you know, that kind of thing. So I just want to say yay.
Yeah, I'm really with you, Cameron. I experienced that also. It's really hard to do something by yourself. It's especially hard to kind of get the energy going and keep it going. But you get other people involved, and there's just it's the old, you know, we talk about this all the time. It's the old, you know, you get two people together, you got, you know, one person's energy plus another person's energy. But the way it goes, it's not mathematical. You would think it'd be one plus one, you have double the energy, but it's not. It's like exponential.
Yes, it
so
is.
It's many times that energy is available rather than just kind of adding those two things together.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited too. So thanks a lot.
Good. Thank you.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, well, I had I made some progress on my fundraising idea this week, and it was through a fair amount of resistance as well. But my project is to have a moving party and invite a bunch of friends and family to help me move and then pay to Living Compassion what I would have paid professional movers.
That's fabulous. That is such a good idea.
Well, thanks. And so what happened was there was this terrible resistance that people would not come through, and I would be there on the morning of my move with one person in a U-Haul, and that I would really be in trouble, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that was the story that kept getting told. And so I kept putting off writing the email and kept putting it off. And when I realized that it was just resistance, it was just conditioning story, that was one big thing. So it was a big thing that helped me get the email written.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that kind of went hand in hand with that recognition was that what I saw was the part of me that thought people weren't going to be there for her.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And I just kind of, when I saw that here, it was, I was able to say to that part, well, you know what, I'll be here for you. And if nobody else shows up, we'll go hire some people, we'll figure it out, we'll make it work. I just, you mm-hmm. know, I just reassured her that I knew how to move. I know how to move, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it was going to be okay. And so once that was kind of done, I could do it. And, you know, I've had probably about 5 or 6 people now come through and say, yes, they want to come and help.
Wow, that's neat.
Yeah.
So what I hear you saying is, so you had this resistance in the beginning, didn't really know a whole lot about what that was about, or even really didn't completely get that it was resistance. But then you saw that this is just resistance, this is just ego. And then you saw underneath that sort of maybe, might we say, the possibility, the actual possibility, you know, different from the move. You know, the move is a possibility, but the actual possibility of seeing and taking care of that part of you who worries that she's going to, you know, people aren't going to come through for her. That was sort of underneath the resistance. And seeing that, then suddenly there was the willingness to write the email and to begin to make this thing happen, and you know, and the result, one of the results of that is people are actually really coming through for you.
Yeah, and as you're saying that, I'm seeing that that really crosses so many content lines. Of course, as everything does, you know. But it's like, okay, the belief that people won't be there for me for the move, but then there are also all these other areas that people aren't going to be there for me for, you know. And mm-hmm. and that belief really got exposed and addressed. And then then the ego took a little different tactic and started attacking the fact that I'm investing in this my life and myself in this community that's all the way out in Murphy's, California. It's like, you know, if you were invested in people here, they would be there for you, you know. You know, and so it was. But by that time, I was pretty much clued into it, and so it didn't get any traction. But I see that it tries to do that a lot. You know, really, you know, every way it can try to attack my relationship with the practice.
Of course, you know, and there's a, you know, for that particular thing, there's a ready answer. It's like, you know, there's thousands of people out there who are there for me. You know, because I heard you say not too long ago something that really, really stuck in my head of, you know, that you're having this relationship with practice primarily through your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which is so true. I think a lot of us are having that experience. But it's kind of amazing in a way because, you know, every time you call one of these calls, I mean, we have all kinds of calls like this going on now. Or every time, you know, you listen to the radio show or you come on retreat, you're experiencing all of the effect of all thousands of people who are supporting really that interior work that you're doing right there where you are with this move.
Exactly. The support is just so abundant, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's fun, too, because in this particular thing, it sounds like you're crossing some lines there. You know, you're crossing lines between over here in Murphy's and in your community because the practice has suggested to you a way you could actually involve your community in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing I put on the email about living compassion, it really is sort of an introduction to these people in this other area of my life. You know, and they all know my connection, but now they're beginning to get because I wrote a little bit about what Living Compassion is and, mm-hmm. you know, and told them a little bit about our work with the sustainability. And I really emphasized the Peace Center and the sustainability part because I didn't want the focus to just be on the Africa work. I really wanted them to know this, going to this part of the work, you know. And
mm-hmm.
and so it is really crossing some lines into this physical community around here and you know, in my long distance community. So it really, yeah, that's good. That's good to see.
Yeah, I saw something else interesting as you were saying that, you know, we've been having this conversation about sort of the difference between fundraising for the Africa work and fundraising, you know, for the sort of the monastery and practice side of it. And what I realized as you're saying that is in that thing that you did, I don't know if I can figure out a way to say it exactly. It's like, You sort of erase the difference between the two, because you're just offering people a way into your own inspiration, we might say, mm-hmm. or your own excitement about this thing, and so it doesn't really matter what the thing is you're excited about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know what I mean. It's like people I can imagine. Here's another way of saying it. I can imagine receiving that email. And I might not have any relationship with this organization that you're involved with. I might not even particularly care. It might not be something that would ever really attract me particularly, but I'll be attracted by your inspiration. You know, I'll be attracted by how much it means to you and the fact that you're willing to do this really generous thing in order to help this thing go that you really care about.
Yeah. As you were saying, I got this image of it's like me, like in doing this, I become the portal through which people who want to can join in that enthusiasm and that inspiration, regardless of the content was the last piece. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And in a really kind of fun and interesting way, you're giving the opportunity for people to be involved in practice. Not in a formal way that they would recognize, but just by, because you're being the practice through this. And so in that, you're just kind of creating this space to for people to experience what it's like to be involved in something that's bigger than ego.
Oh, wow. I love that. That's just so fun and cool to think about and to live.
Yeah, it really is. It's funny how, you know, people, we've often made this connection before about it's unexpectedly. I think it surprises people when they do some kind of fundraiser thing like this. What they end up feeling like is that they've done service, which doesn't seem like those two things that go together. I mean, you're asking for money from people in some form or something from people. How could that be a service to them? But it really is, and I think this is kind of a really good illustration of that. You're giving people an opportunity to do what we all know is probably the number one happiness producer in life, which is to give oneself over to something that's larger than ego and come together in community to create something beautiful and good. Without it being a formal thing, without it being the same as, hey, you know, give some money to my church.
Yeah.
Different than that. It's just you're just through your modeling and your own inspiration, you're kind of giving other people that opportunity.
That's lovely. Yeah. Wait, this is great. It's a great practice.
It really is.
Right. Dave, this is Jeffrey.
Hey, Jeffrey.
Hello there. That was such a wonderful conversation because I find it sometimes so easy to forget that that's really what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed this process that happens a couple of times where I will talk about the practice and project that the person I'm talking to thinks I'm weird or is just...
Yeah. It's not a good idea, is it? Do you know what I mean?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Yeah, I just made a little joke, but I think it's true that it's not a good idea, typically, to talk about practice, because just people, it's experiential, and people just really, you just can't get it through words like that.
Yes, exactly, yeah. But even if I'm talking about what I want, some of the benefits that will go, I've been doing these odd jobs for folks.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes telling them what the money will go to and that sort of thing.
Oh, and sometimes not, huh?
And sometimes not.
Interesting.
They just hook into that energy and trust me, which is wonderful, to go in that direction.
Now, do you make it clear to people that you're doing this as a fundraiser, or are you just actually doing work for money and then giving it to Living Compassion?
From the very beginning, I sent out an email. There are people who have come up to me who did not even receive that email, who don't exactly know what it's for, but have an idea for me. So it's just growing and growing, and sometimes that's a part of it, and sometimes it's not.
Huh. Very interesting.
Yeah, and I've noticed that I do that process of getting excited about something and sharing it, and then there's the story from conditioning that it's not landing in the right place, or that the person's judging me or something, you know?
Yeah, well, probably there's an actual experience happening there that triggers that, I would bet. This is just based on my experience, because you really can't convey it through words. You really can't, and it's not very many people who are actually interested in it or who would be willing to kind of cross that bridge with you into the possibility that you're looking at.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because I've had a lot of success not explaining it.
Yeah, I've been. Sorry,
yeah.
I interrupted you, but it's so perfect because it's really exactly what we just talked about with Rebecca. You're being it. I'm projecting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it's so interesting because I get a story that that's not appropriate, that I need to explain myself, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have to have a good reason or something.
Right. Yeah, whereas I think what you're seeing is that's exactly the opposite of the case.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how you know, you've been here on retreat any number of times, and I don't know how well you remember a little speech we give people as they leave, you know, heading back out the world. But a part of that is, you know, don't talk about it. Don't try to explain it to anybody. Instead, you know, be the Buddha. You know, be who you are. Be the practice that you've been doing while you're here for on retreat for this week. And then, you know, there may be somebody occasionally, you know, most people probably miss that. Then occasionally you run into people who say, you know, that guy, he's an interesting guy. He's doing something that's really working, obviously. And then really occasionally you might meet somebody who says, you know what, I want to know what that is. And they might ask you, and that's a whole different thing.
Right.
But
right.
To be the practice, it's funny. What it provides, it seems like, is a completely non-threatening way for people to have an experience of possibility. And that is, boy, what a service that is.
Yeah, and I've noticed that's actually the only way for them to have an experience of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I think you're right. I think not really knowing, I project people are starved for it without really realizing that's what's going on. I think that's what drives so much of the consumption that we're involved with is, you know, there's just people want goodness, but don't know how to access it. You know, don't know how to get outside of conditioned mind enough to be open to the possibilities that are there that we really can't see from within conditioned mind.
Yes. Can you say more about what, because I would love to look at when people ask about it, because they do,
mm-hmm.
and I do not want to reveal anything about it. You know, sometimes I just say, well, you know, you can go on retreat and give it a shot, you know, but I don't know exactly, you know, I'm experimenting with myself, because the other side of that is it's something I care very deeply about,
mm-hmm.
and have an impulse to share in people's
uh-huh.
lives.
Uh-huh. Well, what I would suggest is that you look to your own energy and what happens. You know, there's no
okay.
shit about it. And there's no rights and wrongs. You know, the only thing we tend to ask is, you know, if you come on retreat, don't give away the exercises. You know, don't tell people what kind of things we actually did, because, you know, they might come at some point and we would want to spoil a surprise. But
yeah.
otherwise, there's nothing about the organization that's any kind of a secret at all, so you can tell people whatever you want to. But what I would suggest, this is what I do, is look to your own energy. When you find, you know, you decide you want to share something, then do that and then see what happens. You know, if you notice you end up feeling really deflated afterwards, then probably, you know, in some way that was a dissipation of your energy.
Mm.
If you end up feeling like you feel supported and you feel grounded, not the other side of duality, which is, you know, sort of manic and excited, but just if it feels like it brings you back to yourself, then you can tell, you know, maybe that was something that was skillful.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think maybe that deflation, it could be something that conditioning uses to its advantage.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah, it very well could be. Yep. But to me, it always comes down to, you know, being what we are rather than talking about it, because that really is the only thing. That's the thing that will really wake somebody up. If somebody is interested in practice, or even if they're not interested in practice, if they're just interested in just being involved with an organization that is just full of possibility and is looking at life from an expansive, sort of fulfilling point of view. Because there'd be, you know, there's ways to participate in the organization without being intimately involved with the practice at all. But it's like, in a way, it doesn't really matter. Just kind of what people want and are up for. But it seems like either way is a service. You know, either way, we're providing a way for people to just have something to give their attention to beyond just the incredibly little world that conditioning puts us to live in, which is essentially, you know, I want this, I can't have it, and it's my fault.
Yeah. Yeah, and the best bet is to be a model of that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Which is a great deal, because that I like being a model of that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's neat. Yeah, and
yeah.
You know what? It's interesting, because what the fundraising thing, I'm just seeing this as you're talking, what it gives us is a sort of a tangible way to do that in the world. you know, we need some kind of cause or reason, in a way, to interact with people, just because that's the way our culture is set up, and this gives you a way to do it. You know, like you're talking about, like Rebecca was talking about, you know, there's a, it sort of, it provides a platform for interactions to happen where we can sort of spread the word without talking about it.
Yeah, and that's very exciting because that's a different process
than
trying to decide how to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, it really is.
Yeah. Wonderful.
All right, good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
Dave, this is Marie.
Hey, Marie.
I'm enjoying this process talk so much. I hate to change the subject, but one of the things I wanted to talk about is this Sangha Market, the market online marketplace.
Yes, please.
And, you know, I've been lucky enough to be one of the people that volunteered to do some work putting that together. And it's a really, I mean, one of the things that really excites me about it is it's something that a group of people who love the practice and living compassion in the monastery decided to do, to put together. So it's been put together by volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a really, I'm really excited because as I sit here, I just keep coming up with more ideas of ways to use it. But essentially, it's an online marketplace where you can list things to sell. And it can be anything, pretty much anything. It could be something that you have that you don't want anymore that you would like to sell. Or it can be something you make. Or there's just, you know, lots and lots of ways to use it.
Mm-hmm. So it's we might talk about it as a really simple way for people to do fundraising.
Yeah, because it was interesting because what I was thinking about it as, well, here's an easy way. If you're in resistance, an easy way is to do this, just do a sell something.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then I started thinking, well, even I had a lot of resistance when I was trying to, when I was the volunteer trying to put the thing together because it was kind of complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure there'll be whatever comes up around going on the internet, you know, getting an account, you know, figuring out how it works, you know, there'll be all those steps.
Yep.
And we're hoping that the fundraising everywhere folks will help us kind of kick it off and get started.
Oh, okay. Maybe by, you know, so we're hoping that the fundraising everywhere folks will participate. And so to kind of start to get some legs under it. It's brand new.
Yeah. So one of the things I did so I would go ahead and make a move is I bought a piece of pottery from one of my friends who's an artist.
Uh-huh.
To support her artwork because she's trying to start a business and then I listed it on the marketplace and I'm going to donate the money to Living Compassion, so it's a real positive. You know, I didn't have to do anything because right now my schedule's really busy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't have to make anything. I did that.
That's great, and so it benefits your friend, and it also, I mean, you know, you're making a financial contribution through that, but also. Sort of putting out there to raise a little more money, and so it's something that kind of benefits everybody, it sounds like.
Yeah, you know, it's been my experience. Every time I've done a fundraiser thing, there's this added, it's what you were pointing at earlier, I think, somehow there gets to be this exponential addition added to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was looking at it the other day, and I said, you know, the same amount of money supports both my friend and Living Compassion.
I know, that's interesting, isn't it?
Like, it seems like there's a catch.
Now how could that be exactly? Yeah, it's almost like you've made an investment of some kind and you're getting these returns.
Yeah, and you know, when we did the yard sale last year, it was like that because it seemed like at first we're asking people to do this stuff, you know, help us get this stuff and sell it. But then people kept bringing us a bunch of stuff and thanking us for doing it.
Uh-huh.
And so we were getting all these things.
Yeah.
And then, you know, on the day of the yard sale, we got money for those things. And it was such a feeling of abundance.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice way of talking about it.
Go ahead.
I was just going to reflect that because it's just such a nice phrase. It was a feeling of abundance that went with it.
Yeah, I mean, I know for about a week and a half there, I just went around feeling, gosh, you know, all this stuff was coming in for us to sell. For, at that time, it was for Africa. And it was such a positive experience, and I would have never projected that.
Yeah.
There would be that added benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like just like we've been talking about, there's what you're doing. You're having the yard sale raising money, but that's not even really what's happening. There's something happening on a whole other level that everybody's participating in.
Yeah, and yeah, so to me, tying it back to the Sangha market, there's just a lot of ways that participating in that's going to impact, you know, other things. For example, you know, now we'll have a community of Sangha selling things, and so, you know, like if I have a need to buy a birthday gift or something like that, then I can just go to Sangha Market.
Yeah, so that might be for somebody who needs something. That might be the first place to go because you can know when you spend your money, you're getting something that you need, but also you're really doing some good.
Yeah, yeah. And you know,
now, I think Marie, tell me if this is right. I think it's also possible. Like, let's say you're the sort of person who is able to produce things that people enjoy having. Like, if you're a crafts person or an artist or something, that you can put something on the Sangha marketplace and sell it, and actually keep some of the money for yourself to support you, as well as giving some of it to the organization. Is that right?
Yeah. I forgot about that benefit. Yeah, because I think that it's set up that we ask that, I think it's that 20% up to, you know, 20% to 100% be donated to Living Compassion anywhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can produce something and keep some of the money for yourself and donate some of it to the monastery or Living Compassion.
Yeah, and at the same time, it would expand your range of people who know about what you're making.
Yeah. And so the way to get to it, right now it's still brand new, and we'll probably have more links to it real soon on the website, but it's just sanghamarket.com.
Sanghamarket.com. So if people went to sanghamarket.com, is it pretty self-explanatory, would you say, how to kind of sign in and how to put something up there to sell?
Well, you'll hit a page that's kind of explains that we're still working on it, but it's working and ready to go. But we'll be it's going to be kind of like testing phase for maybe the first year even, where we get feedback and keep improving it. But it's ready
mm-hmm.
to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, I think like anything, like Facebook or whatever, it takes a little bit of willingness, you know, to kind of jump through the hoops. You need to, you know, create an account. But we're making it more and more user-friendly. So, you know, for me, it seemed fairly simple. It just depends on how much experience you have with that kind of thing.
Right. So you go on sanghamarket.com, and then you just go through this. It sounds like at least a relatively simple process of getting there. And then there's some instruction, I imagine, about just how to present your item and how the payment thing works and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're putting together lots of little helping guides and all. There's quite a few of them already there.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be more and more will be added.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Claire.
I have a question about Sangha Market.
Okay.
And my question is whether it's going to be a possibility for people to advertise services on Sangha Market. My idea is to raise money by singing the happy birthday song, people's anthem song. Whether or not that would be a place where I could, you know, put that up as an ad and as a forum for people to see that as a service.
That's really fun. Are you going to do it over the phone, Claire?
Exactly, yes.
Oh, wow. So it could be anywhere.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
That is a great idea. Marie, is that possible?
Yeah, I don't see any reason why that wouldn't be possible. I don't think right now we have a services category, but we should probably add one.
Yeah, that is a really fun idea.
Yeah, because there are lots of things like that, and I think services people do in a certain geographical area, as long as you list the geographical area,
mm-hmm.
people would be able to still do that as well.
Yeah, I would think that would really work. For example, we got lots of people in the Bay Area in California. We've got lots of people in the Appalachians around Asheville, North Carolina. You know, somebody, like maybe somebody wants to offer a massage or a yoga class or something like that, then people could put it up there, and people who were close enough to take advantage of that could buy in.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think there's a massage on there now.
Is that right?
Being offered, yeah, in the Bay Area.
Oh, okay.
So you might want to check it out.
Might have to look into that.
Dave,
this is Jan.
Jan.
I just had another question about Marketplace. Because I'm trying to make, well, from one of the things for my fundraising, I just want to make sure that I stay with the theme of it being fun. And so with the Marketplace, a friend has donated a quilt, a gorgeous, gorgeous quilt. And I thought it would just be more fun to auction that versus selling it outright.
Oh.
I just wanted to check in with Marie because my understanding is that it will be possible to auction through the Marketplace in July, and if that's still the plan.
Yeah, you know, and it's possible to auction now, but what we're planning to do to kind of kick off an auction period in July so that we can send a lot of people there, because for auctions, you know, you need a lot of people visiting the site. So we're planning to have July be the auction month on Sangha Market. And so that would be a great thing to list then.
Huh, that's fun. I didn't realize that was possible. That's a really neat idea.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Dave, this is Phil.
Phil?
Yeah, while we're still on the Sangha Market topic, it kind of has helped me get through this one of these dilemmas I've had. And the dilemma is that, you know, one of my audiences, one of my groups, are the sisters, and yet they have their, you know, we have our own projects in Africa and money we're trying to raise for them and the schools and everything that's over there. And
for folks who don't know, who might be on the call, don't know you, Phil, you're talking about the Sisters of Notre Dame, an organization.
Right, the Sisters of Notre Dame, and so they have all that going on over there too. And the so I've been hesitant to try to ask them at this point in time, I have before, for money, you know, for a project that they would be involved in. But I did get this idea through the Sangha Market that many of them make things and do crafts, and we even have a crafts fair for our Africa project over in the Sisters Africa project. But I had this idea, especially since especially because of the 20% thing, that if they would like, I could, put their stuff on our store, and whoever would like, and then if they could give whatever percentage they wanted to our Africa project, and to have the rest for the Sisters Africa project, and at the least it would be 20%. So
yeah, that's great.
It would work,
and it would give them a way to. They would give them a sort of an avenue to sell that stuff that they might not have before.
It would, and they'd be making money as they would like for the, you know, the Africa Sisters Africa project, and at the same time, we'd be making some because it's on our website. So that's kind of exciting to me. So I just have to get going and, you know, devise some system to ask them so that it would, you know, they'll say yes and stuff.
Yeah, well, that's really fun, Phil. You know, what I was saying as you're saying that is the Sangha Market, really, it's just sort of a vehicle is all it is. It's just a way, it's a process. It's a way of taking, you know, time, energy, resources, things people have, and turning them into something that's fluid that can really benefit the, the organization, the monastery, or the Africa work, or whatever moves people.
Yeah, and my part of the, you know, the giving, in a sense, you know, part of the fundraising would be to actually, you know, administrate their stuff on the Marketplace, so, you know, they wouldn't have to do it unless they wanted to, which they probably won't.
Yeah, so that would be the service that you're offering.
Yeah, that would be the service I'd offer. Now, that's just one. I'm still working on trying to think of other fundraisers. I'm not too good at thinking of them. I've enjoyed the ideas that have been on the blog, and you know that people are saying, and I know that will spur something else fantastic, but that hasn't come up. But I really am excited about the using the Sangha Market that way.
That's great. Thanks, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, can I say one other thing about it? Just a quick
sure.
thing. It's that you can set up your own store on there, too. So you can have a little logo for your store, and you can click to your store page if you decide to do it that way, and then all your things for sale that you're selling will be on your page.
Oh, that's interesting. So if, like, if you were, let's say you made, you're a potter, and you had, you could just have all kinds of different examples of the kinds of things you sell, and people could kind of go to your storefront and pick from the kind of things that you produce.
Yeah, because they maybe after a while, they when they wanted pottery, they would know, hey, she's got a store.
Yeah,
so,
you know where to go for that.
Of, yeah, all kind of ways to do that too.
That's
hey,
neat.
Dave, this is Cameron.
Cameron.
Hey, if we're still sharing ideas about things for the marketplace, I have one. If we're ready to move on to something else, I can hold it.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I had an idea. I think it was over a year ago. And people said, it sounds like a good idea, hang on to it till the marketplace is up. So I'm really in love with the solar flashlights that we have. That they seem like, you know, such a sustainable way to, you know, light, provide light. And the company that we get them from, Sun Night Solar, has a program where you buy one light and they provide a light for people in countries that don't have electricity and so forth. Like they designed a whole new flashlight for the people in Haiti and made them and are distributing them there after the earthquake. So they had a program. I'm going to have to research it because it was a program where nonprofit organizations could buy lights and then sell them, and then the extra light that they provide when people buy a light would go back to the organization. So we could use that. We would also get some money for the project too each time they buy a light. So we would get money, and we would also get a solar flashlight, which we could turn around. And at the time, they said if we got a case, you know, after a case worth, they would actually ship it for us, but I'm going to have to, like I say, re-research where they are now. But, you know, we could have flashlights, you know, that the donated ones we could provide to our people in Africa, our extended community in Cantaloma that doesn't have electricity, or, you know, any number of things we could do. And so I'm planning to research that program and see if we can get some, you know, system on our marketplace for doing that.
Yeah, that's really fun, Cameron. I can really sense the energy moving as you're describing that. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, it does to me, too. And it seems like a way of, you know, kind of, you know, it has a sustainability aspect to it and a you know, helping people who don't have the resources that we do aspect to it, and providing money for our organization to do our good work too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Win-win-win.
Win-win-win.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Bob.
Bob. Well, you know, I'm really appreciating this discussion, and I'm very excited about this adding services to Sangha Market. Because you know, I was thinking during the call as everyone was talking, I had this idea that so I do a lot of technical support for, like, friends and family, like help them with their computers and stuff. And
I bet you do.
And, you know, so there's that. And I thought, well, you know, I would never charge for that, but I would be happy to, you know, ask people if they'd be willing to make a donation as part of that.
Wow, that's a great idea, especially since you're doing it already.
And then another one was that I often do work for people that it actually costs me more, I think, to charge them than to do the work. And so I never charge them. But again, it feels like it would be a great opening to just say, well, you know, I can't imagine, you know, charging you to do this because it, you know, it took me like 15 minutes, but if you'd be willing to make a donation, you know, for this, that would be great.
Yeah. God, I love that.
You know, because to me it all feels like a win that way, that I'm, you know, it's something I enjoy doing, something I do anyway. I think that, you know, people probably would pay for it if I actually charged them for it. But, you know, it just seems like it would be a good way to kind of do that. And I can kind of see, like, with the services thing, you know, just putting up a services like, you know, computer support for some hourly amount and then just donating that all.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. You know, it really catches the spirit of the fundraising things people are talking about in a way of no, I haven't heard anybody talk about before. It along the lines of, you know, people will do a yard sale and not charge for anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Or doing the, you know, the odd jobs, and you know, it's not an hourly wage so much as just, you know, I'm doing this out of the goodness of my heart, and I'm asking you out of the goodness of your heart to help support this thing that I really care about. So like that, you know, it gives you an opportunity to be generous. It sounds like you're already taking advantage of that opportunity, but then also increases that by giving the folks you're interacting with an opportunity to be generous.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And yeah, it makes me think of, you know, Rico's project with, you know, giving away vegetables.
Yeah, that's another one.
It kind of feels like, you know, well, I don't exactly have a backyard to grow anything in, but I do have a computer.
Yeah, when you've got all these resources, you've got this technical know-how, and of course, and I love the part about you're doing it already.
Yeah.
And it's a way of, you know, and we could look at it as the way we've been talking about on this call, as an act of generosity by you to invite people in that way, because I bet you anything people would respond to that. I bet they wouldn't feel obligated or put upon, but instead they'd feel kind of inspired, because it feels good to give. It really, really does. We have to get past that, you know, that hurdle that conditioning puts in front of us that says, you know, there's not enough of anything, and how can we possibly be thinking about giving? But once we get past that, it feels really, really good. So you're sort of a conduit for that, or making that possible for people.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, it's great. So I appreciate all this. It's been
neat. Great. Yeah, great ideas.
This is Claire.
Hey, Claire.
I've had some more great ideas on this call, and I want to encourage people to email in their ideas to fundraisers@livingcompassion. Once ideas are emailed into that email address, they eventually make their way to our fundraising blog.
Okay. Is that .org, Claire?
Yeah. fundraisers@livingcompassion.org. And also, if people have any photographs of them doing some of their fundraising activities, because it sounds like some folks are already doing things, that would be great, because we want to make our website page a little bit more exciting with some fun photos of people doing their fundraising events. So
yeah, that's a great point, Claire, because it would be, I think, you know, a big part of what we're trying to do is create a sort of an avenue for people to get involved, and that webpage is a big part of that. So, and also just to, you know, help generate fun through all the stuff we're doing. So photographs would success stories. Do we want something like that too? Stories about what happened?
Absolutely, yeah.
Great, fun.
Hey, Dave, it's Carolyn.
Hey, Carolyn.
Hey, I wanted to kind of share something that has sort of been. A nice addition to fundraising is, you know, I get things in the mail all the time from different organizations that I've donated to.
Mm-hmm.
And I would usually sit every month and kind of parcel out, well, I can give so much to this month, and, you know, not this month. And what I've realized with fundraising is I don't have to make that choice so much, because I'm able to, through Living Compassion, give of my time, and then it's not so much that I have to sit and make a choice every month. I can be generous with everyone.
It's not like it's taking anything from you.
Yeah. In fact, it's giving me so much in return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point. And we were talking earlier about how much this is practice and how important it is that this is practice. And I know for myself, a big part of practice is that none of this is about self-deprivation.
Mm.
You know, it's not about making those kind of hard choices that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And there's always a way for it to be abundant. And it sounds like you've really found that. Where you found a way that you can give, but in a way that really works for you within your life and actually adds to your experience of life rather than has a feeling of taking away from it.
Yes, yes, very much so. Yeah, yeah, that's it. That's it exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it goes back to what you were talking about earlier about this being self, you know, being sustainable. And I, you know, the picture that came up for me was it would be like telling yourself you didn't have, you know, like you weren't going to eat. You were just going to, you know, not do any of that pesky eating because it just sort of got in the way, when that's what allows you to do everything else that you do.
That's a good analogy.
And so this whole thing with fundraising, it's the thing that feeds me. It's the thing that allows me to, you know, by giving back to that which sustains me. I mean, you know, it's sort of like that whole thing with giving your body the nutrition and the sustenance it needs. That's the same thing for the spirit.
It has that feeling for you of really nourishing you.
Yes.
You know what I was saying as you were saying that, Carolyn, is the other thing it does, it provides a structure for practice that would not be there otherwise. You know, without something like that, or before we really kind of went down this road, in order to have some kind of structure, a supportive structure to practice in, you know, you might, if you were lucky, you might have a sitting group in your area. You know, you could occasionally go on retreat. But this is, I had not looked at it this way before. The fundraising program really provides a structure for practice, because there's a thing you're going to do that you've committed to, and it's not something that's serving ego. It's something that serves the heart and really challenges us in that way. And there's also kind of a support system for it, and there's a way that we can have a conversation about it.
Yeah. And it really helps. For me, anyway, there's a lot of karma around money, and so. To really think of money as being clean,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there's these really kind of karmic beliefs that somehow it's dirty. And
That's
wonderful to think of.
Yeah, it's a different kind of money laundering, isn't it?
Yeah. That's very good.
Yeah, you're cleaning it up. You're taking it from where it is and spiffing it up and sending it off to do some good.
Yeah. I love that. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. All right. Well, it looks like we're about out of time. I guess this is an hour-long call. Am I right?
And our next call is on May 26th at 5:15 p.m.
Okay. Now, Claire, I think people will get an email between now and then with some things to look at in preparation for the next call. Is that right?
Exactly. We're planning on sending an email out next week with some things to look at in preparation for that call on May 26th.
Okay, great. Well, thanks a lot for being here, everybody. Really enjoyed it. It's a fun conversation, and we'll look forward to keep on talking as we go through.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Have a great day.
Bye.